Some of you may be old enough to remember a series that would run in newspapers and came out in books called Ripley's Believe It or Not. Now, Robert Ripley was a very wealthy man who traveled around the world, and he came up with these oddities that he would be in newspaper columns, these ink drawings and books that would come out, you know, so-and-so in Somalia who has three heads and that kind of a thing. Well, on, June 18th, year of our Lord, 2025, I have an item for Ripley's Believe It or Not. The conference speaker walked into the assembly room of what he thought were Orthodox Presbyterians, and they were clapping, and they were enjoying it. And the next thing you know, they're going to ask to be doing it in worship. So, but it's wonderful to, and the Bible does talk about clapping your hands, all you nations. Okay, for young people, young adults, you know, you can determine whether you're in that category or not, but if after we're done, we've got a few minutes, and try to gather up here at the front. When we're gathered for the session, it'd be better for those of you up there if you'd kind of make your way outside. We're not using microphones. It's easier for me to hear the young people. You know, at my age, the hearing does begin to fade a bit. But I really look forward to that time with the young adults. I told them this evening I get first dibs with a question. We had a wonderful time last night. And the question that I'm going to ask them tonight is, what's the biggest challenge that you face as Christian young people in this culture at this time? So I'm interested in those questions. And I must tell you how thrilled I was with the artwork of the children last night. And I've even made some notes in my notes for the young people, so you can do some artwork this evening as well. And I love it when you come up and show it to me. I'm not really an expert on cell phones. I do know how to take screenshots. So I have some photographs of these pictures that I'll bring home to New York to show these budding artists in New York. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Our Lord, once again, we pray that you would grant us grace to gird up the loins of our minds. It has been another long day with so much activity, and it's easy to be weary in the evening. But Lord, make this to be not entertaining, but let the presentation of what is so serious, let it nevertheless captivate us and teach us at the same time that this really is the way the devil works. And so, our Lord, we're told not to be ignorant of his devices. Help that this session tonight will enable us to do exactly that. For Jesus' sake, amen. Okay, for the morning session, we've gone from summertime in man's soul when there is joy and wonderful, almost a true foretaste of heaven, as a man's soul is enjoying all of the blessings that Emmanuel has given it, especially under the charter that is now engraved on the walls of man's soul. But we go from summer to fall, double entendre, and eventually to winter, as in man's soul there has been a coldness, a really forsaking of the love of Emmanuel in that town. And we're reminded again that really the most dangerous time for God's people in any age is a time like we're in now, time of tremendous prosperity. Elie DeRue was saying today, she was remembering World War II in Europe. The churches were packed every Sunday. After the war, church attendance dropped off considerably because, well, there were more important things to do, quite frankly. So it's an illustration of how prosperity is such a dangerous time. Well, tonight, I want to borrow from C.S. Lewis's inimitable volume, The Screwtape Letters. You have to really twist your head in order to understand and appreciate the Screwtape letters, which, interestingly, were written during World War II in England. The Screwtape letters, Screwtape is the uncle. He is the wizened devil. And he's writing to his nephew, Wormwood. And Wormwood is just kind of learning his ropes as a devil, and he makes a lot of mistakes. And Wormwood, his uncle, is coaching him. And the other character in the Screwtape letters, get this for a name, Toadpipe. Toadpipe is the toad by which the messages from Uncle Screwtape are delivered to Wormwood. And Lewis does a magnificent job in that. And if you get the opportunity to see the presentation of the Screwtape letters done by the Fellowship for the Performing Arts, the work of Max MacLean, if you can see Screwtape letters, or frankly any of their presentations, go to see it. The man who does Screwtape in Screwtape letters really should get an award. It is a tremendous presentation. Anyway, so that's C.S. Lewis's Screwtape letters. Well, we've got the originals for tonight. We have the original ones that go all the way back many, 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 many years, and you'll hear them this evening. Now, for the young people, this is going to be another opportunity for you to do some, I'm sure, quite remarkable pictures. So as we go through this, I might even drop you some hints about the things that you can be picturing. Okay, so Screwtape letters for this evening, and this is where I'm going to begin departing a little bit from Bunyan. Frankly, the book Holy War, when you get to maybe the last third of it, last fourth of it, it does kind of begin to ramble, and it doesn't have quite the cut to it that the earlier part does, nor is it as tight. And frankly, it kind of ends up in a, I'd say, no man's land, but it's the kind of thing that you could cycle over and over again. And it is, frankly, in my opinion, somewhat disappointing. So what we're dealing with tonight in the Screwtape letters, and we're dealing with, as you can tell from the text, the devil's devices, this is not only Satan's plan for man's soul. This is Satan's plan for right now. And it's Satan's plan for all ages. And it will be Satan's plan for all ages until Christ comes back. I think if I'm reading things properly, there'll be an intensification before Christ comes back of these kinds of things you hear tonight. But that's the way we're going to be developing the material, particularly tonight and then tomorrow morning and then tomorrow evening, is the end of the world. I was telling someone I was working intently on that last presentation, wanting to get it right at our home as I'm sitting on our patio, and I'm dealing with the end of the world, and our smoke alarm in the house goes off, not because of a fire, because of a weak battery or something. I said, well, Lord, you have your ways of impressing things on us. But that's for tomorrow night. Let's come to tonight. Man's soul. Man's soul has left its first love, and it is very weak. And that is Diopolis's opportunity. In man's soul, get ready, young people, for your pictures. In man's soul, there is one Mr. Mischief. Mr. Mischief is a councilman among the Diabolonians, and he is recognized as one of their chief leaders, Mr. Mischief. He lives at the end of a dark alley in the area of foul place in man's soul. And that dark area, think of your pictures, is inhabited by rats and snakes, the home of Mr. Mischief in man's soul. Knowing the weakness of the city, he decides to have a consultation, and he calls together Lord Lasciviousness, Lord Murder, and of course, Mr. Carnal's security. And they decide that they are going to send a letter to Diabolos explaining the situation in the town of Mansoul. And this is the first of the Screwtape letters. It is from the Diabolonians in hiding in Mansoul. To our great Lord, the Prince Diabolos, who dwells below in the infernal cave of hell. O great Father and mighty Prince Diabolos, we, the true Diabolonians who remain in the rebellious town of Mansoul, have received our lives and strength from your hands, and we cannot continue to bear with how you are despised, disgraced, misrepresented, and opposed among the inhabitants of this town. And it is greatly to our distress that you have so long been absent from this place that should be yours. We write this, our Lord, because we have hope that this town may again become a place for you to dwell in power. For the people continue to turn away from Prince Emmanuel, and though they call upon him in that hideous practice they call prayer, he has not responded to them. And in recent weeks, there's great sickness among the people, and many are discouraged. Even the lords, the captains, and the chief officials of the town are suffering. However, we who are promoting your work of sin, rebellion, apathy, and even mocking of what they call true religion are very well indeed. We are lively and strong. So we judge, Lord Diabolos, that because of their decline from Prince Emmanuel, they now lie open to your hand and to your power. If therefore your horrible cunning and the ruthless hearts of your princes should agree, we urge you to make another attack on Mansoul. Send us word, and we will to our utmost power assist you in delivering Mansoul back into your hellish hand. Given, after careful consultation at the house of Mr. Mischief, who is alive and well here in Mansoul, with your Diabolonian servants awaiting your orders in Mansoul. The letter is delivered by Mr. Profane. Try to picture that one. And as he makes his way out of Mansoul, he makes his way to Hell Gate Hill. Hell Gate Hill that is guarded by the dog Cerebrus. Now, this is a little window on the fact that the great tinker, John Bunyan, was no slouch when it came to education. Cerebrus, and again, children, I suggest this might be young people, this might be something that you would want to picture. Cerebrus, C-E-R-E-B-R-U-S, Cerebrus, in Greek mythology, is the hound of Hades. The hound of Hades. He's been described as a, and if you see the pictures of it, it is pretty hideous. Cerebrus is the monstrous, multi-headed dog, usually three heads, the monstrous, multi-headed dog who guards the gates of hell. And his job is to stop the dead from leaving hell. And those who enter are treated such that they will never escape. The letter from Mr. Profane is delivered to Cerebrus. Cerebrus is a dog. He sees Mr. Profane, the ugly beast that he is, and he growls, "Wait here." And Cerebrus makes his way to Diabolos.
"I have tidings, my lord. Communication from your trusted friends in Mansoul.
What a gathering. All of the inhabitants of that area where Diabolus is hear the words from Cerebrus, and oh, what a gathering it is. Lord Beelzebub comes, Lord Lucifer comes, Lord Apollyon comes, a whole host of devils and ghouls and fiends and demons and rogues and evil spirits. For those of you who can look back on Star Wars, it was Star Wars 1, which is really Star Wars 4. The first in the series, there was the Cantina Band, remember? Where Luke Skywalker and Han Solo go, and you have all these weird creatures, and you know, and a funny touch in there. Luke Skywalker, who's quite a handsome guy, and you got one of these weird creatures. He says, "I don't like the way you look." Well, that's kind of what this gathering is like, the Cantina Band, and the Dead Man's Bell is rung with joy, and there are shouts and cheers and applause and bellows and whoops and huzzas that come. And the people that are there are thrilled. The town of Mansoul, it's coming to dwell with us. Make room for the town of Mansoul. Oh, what a party they had around Diabolus. A horrible, noisy ceremony. And when it's done, there's a deliberation. The letter is read, and finally, after much discussion, the Diabolonians agree on the response. And here it is. The response of Diabolos to our dear children, the high and mighty Diabolonians who still dwell in the town of Mansoul. I, Diabolus, the rightful prince of Mansoul, wish you the best fruits of your brave projects, conspiracies, and plans to recapture Mansoul for my service, my honor, and my fame. Beloved children, and devilish disciples, we here in our infernal den have received with the greatest joy your welcome letter. We rang out the bell to show our thrill that we have you as our loyal friends in Mansoul, friends and servants who are ready to seek our honor and our revenge in bringing about the ruin of the town of Mansoul. Oh, and how we rejoice to learn that the town has offended Prince Emmanuel and as a result has become sick and worn down. And as their sickness pleases us, so also we are pleased with your health and your strength as you remain in the town. We share with you our desire to get Mansoul back into our clutches. And we will spare nothing to make the town once again a place of sin and misery. We will return with more strength than we did at first. We will give the infernal sword to all of your enemies. And we will make you great lords and captains of our regained town. We call upon you now to continue to spy out the weakness of the town of Mansoul. Weaken them more and more, and give us your hellish ideas as to how we can best regain the town. Now, should it be by persuading the citizens to empty and loose lives? Or should we tempt them to doubt and to despair? Or should we destroy whole houses and buildings in the town by the gunpowder of pride and self-righteousness? Advise us on these. And O you brave Diabolonians and true sons of the pit, make yourselves ready to assault the town with horrible vengeance from within when we are ready to storm it from without. Now, move forward with your project to recapture the town, and may all the blessings of the pit of hell be upon you. Given at the pit's mouth, by the joint consent of all the princes of darkness, to be sent to the forces and powers that we have still remaining in man's soul, by me, Diabolos. It's delivered by Mr. Profane. Mr. Profane receives the letter, makes his way out of Hell's Gate, and once again goes to the house of Mr. Mischief. And if you're that specific, Mr. Mischief lives at 999 Fowl Place in Mansoul. That's the address. I don't know the zip code. 999 Fowl Place in Mansoul. It's right next to a rat hole, okay? Now, Mansoul has a gathering of the Diabolonians at the house of Mr. Mischief. They are so excited that they have received a communication from their master, Diabolos, and they read the letter and have a very extensive discussion afterwards as to exactly what their strategy should be. So they all agree on these things. Number one, keep all of this quiet. We say nothing beyond the house of Mr. Mischief about any of this. Number two, consider the plans in the letter from Diabolos and add some ideas of your own. And the idea of their own, now remember that the devil is a deceiver. He's a slanderer, he's a murderer, he's a destroyer, but he's also a deceiver. And the Diabolonians in Mansoul concoct this very, very clever idea. They will disguise themselves. They will do that by dressing like sheep. Remember, it's winter in Mansoul, and winter, not like California winter, but maybe winter more like New York, you've got to wear a heavy coat. And what they will do, these Diabolonians in Mansoul, is they will wear sheep skin coats. Sheep fleeces. Even though they have fangs like wolves, they will look exactly like sheep. They also decide that it would be good if they change their names. And they have fun with this. Here are some of the name changes, parenthetically. Don't use euphemisms, folk. A euphemism means a good term for something that is bad. Euthanasia, good death. No, it's not. It's suicide or murder. But that's a euphemism. And these very clever Diabolonians decide that they're going to make some name changes. Young people, these are great to try to picture. Mr. Reproductive Rights has his name changed to Mr. Kill Life. His family is from the family known as infanticide. New name, Mr. Reproductive Rights. Miss Fashionable. Miss Fashionable has her name changed from Madam Temptress. She's from the prostitute family. But she's no longer Madam Temptress. She's now Miss Fashionable. Sir Materialist, whose father, incidentally, was the late atheist in Mansoul, Sir Materialist has his name changed to Mr. Happy Consumer. Mr. Happy Consumer. And Mrs. Seductress, who is the daughter of Lord Lascivius, has her name changed to Mrs. Let's Have Some Fun. Mrs. Seductress changed to Mrs. Let's Have Some Fun. And in fact, frankly, the Abilonians had a tremendous time changing names to euphemisms because they love, as Diabolos loves, deception. The plan of attack on Mansoul. They decide that the best plan of attack, as they consider all of the things that Diabolos has suggested, is to make Mansoul busy making money. You know, the business of Mansoul is business. They had learned from Diabolos that when people are most busy with the world, they least fear a surprise attack. So they compose letter number three. Letter number three now is the second letter from the Diabolonians hiding in Mansoul. The lords of looseness, to the great and high Diabolos from our dens, caves, holes, and strongholds in and around the town of Mansoul, together with the rats. Greetings. O Diabolos, our great lord and nourisher of our lives, how glad we were when we heard of your readiness to comply with us and to help us move forward in our plans to ruin Mansoul. We join you in the great project of erasing every appearance of goodness from the town and replacing Prince Emmanuel with the forces of darkness, evil, and sorrow. Know, O exalted Diabolos, that we have carefully considered the ideas that you have proposed to us for bringing about the desolation of Mansoul. We now propose to you this threefold plan for our attack. We believe that it is best to fill them with the gunpowder of pride. When their souls become full of themselves, well, the gunpowder will do its work and bring them down to destruction. This plan has always worked from the beginning of our battles. We will continue to tempt the townspeople to be as loose in their ways as it is possible for them to be. While the pleasure of this will attract them at first, those pleasures soon die and become just the opposite. The miseries of doing their own thing will soon bring them into an ocean of desperation in which they will find themselves drowning. Now, to do this most effectively, we ask that you send an army of doubters to aid us in our infernal work. Our great enemy is the foolish faith that the townspeople have when they're loyal to Emmanuel. The more we can make them doubt that prince's promises, power, and what he calls love, the weaker they will be, and the better will be our success in reconquering the town for ourselves. One other device that we believe will work well is to change the names of some of the leaders of the town with whom we Diabolonians have become close friends. The more we can change the words that Emmanuel follows by his law book, the more we can make the people of Mansoul more comfortable with the very things that will work to their harm. As you have taught us, O wise Diabolos, the power to define is the power to control. So, we will work to see the name of Mr. Covetousness changed to Sir Ever Thrifty. He is a confidant of Mr. Mind, and so that will change the way he thinks about possessions that are all meant to be used for the prince and for the needs of his citizens. We will also work to see Mr. Impurity's name changed to Mr. Harmless Fun. He is very close to Lord Wilbywill, and will soon get him to be less strict about what comes into the gates of the town. And finally, O honorable Diabolos, we humbly advise you to make your attack on Mansoul on a business day. Now that should make things easy for you, because the town, some time back, replaced Sunday as what they called a market day for the soul with what has become far more important to them, market days for the pleasures of our bodies. And the non-business days, what they call holidays, well, they might be even better for you to pounce on Mansoul, because on those days, all of the inhabitants of the town give themselves to eating, drinking, and having fun. What a good time for an invasion. May we humbly remind you, sir, of the days of Noah? And be assured, O excellent Diabolos, that we, your trusty servants, will be ready to assist you with all of our powers from within the town, even as you storm it from without. Mansoul, we are convinced, will be put into utter confusion and will be swallowed up before they even realize what has happened. To the monsters of the infernal cave, from the house of Mr. Mischief and Mansoul, we remain your obedient servants, the Diabolonians. Once again, the letter is sent by Mr. Profane. Here again, young people, you can think about what this might look like. To Hell Gate Hill, which is a kind of a dark and scary place. To Cerebrus, the monstrous multi-headed dog. They are this time granted entrance. And Mr. Profane, and I believe this time he has a delegation with him, but he, at least he, and probably they, have what they've really looked for, a personal meeting with Diabolos and the other fiends. And Mr. Profane's response when he finally is in the presence of Diabolos is quite telling, quoting from Bunyan. Then Profane, after bowing to Diabolos, said, "Let man's soul be given to my lord Diabolos, and let him be her king forever." And with that, the hollow belly and yawning gorge of hell gave so loud and hideous a groan, for that is the music of that place, that it made the mountains about it totter as if they would fall into pieces. Once again, the evil spirits led by Beelzebub and Apollyon and Lucifer, of course, with Diabolos there. Once again, there is a very evil-spirited discussion and a tremendous debate. And what excitement as they considered just exactly what to do to Mansoul and when to do it. And their resolution was an interesting one. They resolved that the best course of overall action, in addition to what had been mentioned, was to repeat what caused the fall of Mansoul at the beginning. That way of deceiving, "You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil," could be repeated. Best plan of attack. Apollyon speaks and brings all of this together, but they're all waiting to hear Diabolos. As soon as Apollyon had made an end of speaking, Diabolos began to blow out of his own malice and to plead his own cause. my lords and powers of the cave, my true and trusty friends, I have with much impatience, as becomes me, given ear to your long and tedious orations. But my furious gorge and my empty paunch so lust after a repossession of my famous town of Mansoul that whatever comes out, I can wait no longer to see the events of lingering projects. I must, and that without further delay, seek by all means I can to fill my insatiable gulf with the soul and the body of the town of Mansoul. And therefore, lend me your heads, your hearts, and your help now that I am ready to recover my town of Mansoul. Their plan, and there were a lot of ghoulish laughs, incidentally, as this was discussed. Their plan was to send an army of doubters. And I'll let you in on something. These doubters fly. An army of doubters, because they knew that unbelief is the great enemy of Emmanuel and his cause. Unbelief is hell's kryptonite. This is their resolve, along with other things. And in this fourth letter, the second response of Diabolos, they put all of this together. The second response of Diabolos: from the dark and horrible dungeon of hell, Diabolos, with all the society of the princes of darkness, sends you, our trusted friends, in and around the walls of the town of Mansoul, our devilish response to your most poisonous designs against the town of Mansoul. We can do no less than admire your faithfulness to us in your proposals to assist us against the town of Mansoul. You have indeed invented a most excellent method for our proceeding against that rebellious people. We most highly approve and admire your proposals. They are full of the spirit of our hatred for Emmanuel and his people. Regarding your brilliant request to send an army of doubters, we are raising for your assistance and for the ruin of the rebellious Mansoul more than 20,000 doubters to assail the town from all directions. They are strong and sturdy soldiers who, from the very beginning of our dark cause, are accustomed to war. They will not let up the resistance to the silly faith of man's soul. Do not let up using all your power, cunning, energy, and skill to keep deceiving man's soul into thinking that more sin and more wickedness are really for their fun and for their pleasures. That was the way their first parents were deceived by our father, Satan himself. Remember that the more vile, sinful, and debauched the town of Mansoul is, the more backward Emmanuel will be to come to their help. The weaker we can make them, the more they will be unable to resist us. And then we can make our assault on them to swallow them up. As to the time of our coming upon Mansoul, we've not yet decided upon that. Some of us think, as you do, that a market day, or even better, a market day at night, will certainly be the best. However, be ready for our attack. When you hear the roaring of the drums approaching the town, do your best to make the most horrible confusion within man's soul. Let us make the town so fearful and distressed that it has no idea what to do. Lord Lucifer, Lord Beelzebub, Lord Legion, and Lord Apollyon salute you, as do I, Lord Diabolos, and our fiendish hordes with us. We wish you the greatest success in all of your endeavors to bring man's soul back into the clutches of our hellish power. Well, you can bet that Mr. Profane was pretty excited about getting that letter, and with much haste, he makes his way, rushing back to the house of Mr. Mischief, 999 Foul Place in Mansoul. This time when he comes, there are snakes that are hanging over the door, and they are hissing at him. And what a party. What a party the Diabolonians had as they read these directives from Diabolos, as they rejoiced in his communication with them. And what a party they had. All of the directions, all of the decorations were black and gray, as you could imagine. And the rats served the refreshments that once again were purchased by Mr. Incredulity. What a party they had. Meanwhile, man's soul is decaying. The castle, what's the castle? The heart. Yeah, the castle is becoming weaker. And the citizens have encouraged the powers of hell by their foolishness and by their rebellion. They have paved the way for Diabolos to come and to destroy man's soul. Remember, again, what's the devil? Yes, slanderer. Yes, liar. Yes, deceiver. He's also a destroyer. That's the meaning of Apollyon, destroyer. Man's soul was somewhat sensible of her sin, but not deeply. Mansoul cried for help a little bit, but it didn't come, because the law book of Emmanuel says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I will not hear you. Emmanuel, or Mansoul, did regard iniquity in its heart, and Emmanuel didn't answer. The town grows weaker and weaker, like dry leaves in the wind. Remember, it's winter. And now, in this brutal winter in Mansoul, Diabolonians and Mansoulians walk the streets together. Diabolonians wearing the same coats as the Mansoulians, sheepskin, lamb's wool. Now, the Diabolonians had to keep their mouths shut. Otherwise, the Mansoulians would see their fangs. But they look exactly alike. Beware, in the charter given to the Christian church, of wolves that rise up in your own midst wearing sheep's clothing. The weakness of man's soul was the strength of its enemies, and the sins of man's soul were the advantage of the Diabolonians. What is going to happen next? That's tomorrow. A couple notes before we sing. Parents, I hope you'll discuss this with your children. Now, depending on their ages, Some things are more appropriate for the older ages than the younger. But you get the point in here. This is the way the devil works in our culture. And while you may be too exhausted to discuss it here, I hope you've at least taken sufficient notes so that when you get home, you'll start chewing on this. Because one of our responsibilities in raising our children, one of our responsibilities, my fellow ministers, in working with the people that the Lord gives to us, is we're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. That word devices is interesting. I think it's the only place it's used in the New Testament. And it's very difficult to translate. The closest, I think, that we would have in our culture is the word mind games, head games. We're not ignorant of the mind games, of the head games, of the devil. That's why this matter of changing words, making euphemisms out of good things, out of what are bad things, very, very common in our culture today. So talk with your children about these things. When you hear these things, it's important to correct them. Remember, we're to bring down every high thought that exalts itself against the Lord Jesus Christ and bring every thought into captivity to Christ. That's the way you ward off the mind games of the devil. So discuss this with your children. And I don't want you to go away discouraged this evening. I do want you to go away with a realistic sense of what the devil's program is in every age, and it will be heightened before Christ returns. But the way I want to encourage you is this. Throughout the history of the Christian church, where sin abounded, grace would abound even greater. But there's a right time for grace to work. Nevertheless, it's true that where sin abounds, grace will abound even greater. I hope, parents, you are familiar with the music of Judy Rogers. Judy's music that began to come out in the 1980s, her songs based on the catechism, Why Can't I See God? Our children cut their teeth on those, and now we're doing the same thing with our grandchildren, Why Can't I See God? And then a companion one based on the Proverbs, Go to the Ant. There's many more than the ones I'm mentioning. These are the ones I think of for parents. Walkin' Wise, which is great for parents with young adults. And then, apropos actually of this series as well, Pilgrim's Praise that Judy did with Craig Pittman. But this is excellent music. It's faithful to the Scriptures. Judy had all of her lyrics approved by the elders of the church, of which her husband was a pastor, and God has honored that work. Well, one of the ones that is so appropriate for this, and incidentally, if you want to get Judy's music, you can just go to Judy Rogers Music, or Bandcamp has actually all of Judy's music, Bandcamp or Judy Rogers Music. But are we ready for this, Jesus, our prophet, priest, and king? You have that that you can put up here? I can't see if you do. I have my own written copy, I think. And my dear friend, what's your name?
Paul.
Paul. You're quite the accomplished keyboardist. I appreciate it. You deserve the standing ovation that you got. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Paul, like the apostle. But you're not an apostle. But you are a living epistle. But anyway, let's have Paul play one. How many of you know the song, Jesus, Our Prophet, Priesting? Oh, great. Okay, good, good, good. Well, if you can clap your hands before and sing like that, you can sing this. Let's listen to, no, you can clap your hands too, but let's listen to one stanza of Jesus, Our Prophet, Priest, and King. And then we're going to sing with the accompaniment from Brother Paul, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth stanza. And then let's sing the last stanza a cappella. As beautiful as instruments are, the human voice is the most beautiful instruments. Other instruments just simulate it. So let's have Paul play one stanza, kind of get the tune down. Those of you who know it, really sing it out. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4 together with the accompaniment, and then the last stanza and the little chorus at the end we'll sing without and sing. Let's let our charismatic friends who belt out their singing, let us see they got big rivals in Orthodox Presbyterians, okay? Amen and hallelujah. Young people, you're invited to remain in front afterwards. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, work in us so that we will not be ignorant of the mind games of the devil, and dismiss us with your blessing so that the fellowship we enjoy now will truly be a means of grace. Remind us that when we fellowship with your people, we are fellowshipping with Christ. And we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our glorious prophet, our glorious priest, and our glorious king. And we confirm that we desire to be heard as we say together, Amen.